teen boy's nose, that's like talking to Stallone. They walk in from school. How are you, buddy?
What's up?
How was your day? You hungry? Only reason I keep him around is tech support.
Dude, it's easy. Just click, 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 click.
What is up, Happy Lifers? Thanks for joining us today. I am so happy that you did. That was a clip from a guy by the name of Tom Wilkins. I am so excited, so happy about today's episode. We talked a while back, some time ago, about some new podcasts that I was excited to bring in Happy Life Studios here, and this is one of them. This is a podcast that Mike Donahue does called Talking to Brick Walls. It's off of a book that he wrote, and I am lucky enough, he asked me if I would co-host these podcasts with him called Talking to Brick Walls for parents or educators of teenagers. I think this would also be good for those that have children, but they're not teenagers yet. It would be good to begin to learn some of the stuff before they become teenagers, because you'd be so much more prepared when they become teenagers in your life. So without me explaining any more, the podcast is going to explain itself enough. I'm so honored and so happy to be a part of this project that Mike Donahue is doing, and I've been working him for years, wanting him to get online, because what he has to say is so powerful and so good. So I just need to be quiet and get right into the episode. And these episodes, you'll hear it's got different music. It's got the Brick Walls intro. And if you ever notice on our page, we have, after the end of the title of the podcast, we always have the number of the episode. For Happy Life Studios, it's always HL and then whatever the number of episode is, like HL04, HL300 and something. This will be BW01, and that's how you know that this is Talking to Brick Walls. Anyway, I'm excited. So excited that we are doing this and that I get to share Mike Donahue with all you Happy Lifers. Have you ever felt like talking to your kid was like talking to a, well...
Hello, Walls.
The truth is, your teenager wants to talk to you. They would love to tell you all about their world outside of your home. Meet Mike Donahue, youth specialist, school culture expert, school assembly speaker, communicator, author, and all-around cool dude. He has over 3 decades of experience connecting with teenagers and would love to help you connect with yours. Join us for this dynamic podcast.
Hello, Walt.
Hello. Welcome. I am Steve Hayes. I'm a thought leader and a happypreneur, and here with me is Mike Donahue, Hall of Famer Mike Donahue, I should say. And the reason why I say that, he didn't play professional sports at all, but he's a Hall of Famer. Mike has been speaking and helping teenagers for well over 3 decades. He's an author. He's a school culture expert. He's a youth communicator. He's been in schools all over the world talking to teenagers, and he's written some books, and one of them was Talking to Brick Walls. And now, on top of all that stuff, he is actually a podcaster. This is his podcast. And I am so excited to come along for the journey. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
How's it going, Steve-O?
It's going good, man. It's going good. I'm so excited about this. I've been talking to you for years because your message when you go into schools and speak and when you go in other places and speak, I've seen you do that. And no one does it better than you, by the way. But when you do that, people's lives are changed. I just sit in awe of what I see happening. But there's people that aren't going to be able to make it. Only so many thousands can go to your over the year, right? But we put you online. Now people from all over the world. So I've been wanting to do this with you for a long time, or I've been wanting you to do it for a long time. I didn't know that you were going to ask me to come along on the ride with you, and that's just an extra bonus for me. I'm honored to be able to do this. But I'm so excited about your book, Talking to Brick Walls, which is really what, Mike?
It's just a book that I put together to help parents
understand what teenagers are going through today. I mean, it's a moving target. I mean, it changes all the time. I actually wrote this book 12 years ago, and it was good. It served its purpose at the time. But then, you know, like I said, it's a moving target. It's always changing. So I wanted to rewrite it and put some current stuff in there with social media and some of the other social pressures that kids are facing today. And so I spent about 6 months really just digging in and researching and interviewing people and just getting some good content to put in a book. It's 10 chapters, and it's just a walkthrough on how to connect to teenagers.
Yeah, I think that's wise, because when it comes to youth, I mean, it just changes every... I mean, how often do you say youth culture changes? How on the edge do you have to be? I mean, so if you're a parent, it can be overwhelming sometimes, but it changes pretty fast, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, every year there's new things. And I mean, my son, who's 29, said to me just recently, he said, "Dad, there's a gap, technology gap between me and you." He said, "But the gap between me and an 18-year-old right now is bigger." And that, to me, just highlights the fact that it changes so often. And these kids today are so savvy with tech and, you know, social media that, I mean, someone like, you know, an adult really can't keep up with the nuances and the different things that are going on.
Yeah, and so we shouldn't beat ourselves up when we can't, right? Because it's kind of impossible for us to stay at that pace, but we don't really need to communicate with our teenagers, right?
No. And we'll get into that more, but it's good to know what's going on. But, you know, that's not really the way we communicate with them. You know, we keep up, you know, texting and make sure they're going where they need to go and that kind of thing. But as far as, like, the connection, that's totally different, because that's a parent and, you love your kid. You're able to talk to him, you know, one-on-one.
Yeah, it does change quickly. So I'd like to introduce you to the listeners. This is going to be a podcast teaching us to communicate with our teenage children. But would you say it's also for any other people, like educators or anyone else that works with teenagers?
Yeah, we'll be taking a deep dive into the youth culture. Kids spend 8 to 10 hours a day, depending on whether extracurricular activities they have, in school. So obviously, you know, teachers and administrators are key in trying to, you know, connect with young people. And, you know, we'll get into this more, but the social culture controls a lot of things. So we definitely going to talk to that. The book, actually, after every chapter, I have a little section for parents, like a practical section, then a practical section for educators as well. So the book is definitely written for parents, probably mainly, but then there's a kind of a splash over into the administrative world and the education world.
Right on. So if you know of anybody that has teenage children, this would be a good podcast to share with them. Actually, Mike, you've been working with teenagers for 3.5 decades now, and you've been hearing a lot from their side. You're a parent as well, but you've been hearing a lot from their side. So there's a lot of insight that you know, and your book is fantastic on this. You said that you got helps in there for parents and stuff like that. Can you give us real quick, there's a place we can go online to get that book, right? Maybe some people want to follow along as we do the podcast.
Sure. It's MikeDonahue.co. And then once you get on there, you just go to resources and there's books. And there's a few. I've written 4 books now. And so there's some other resources on there as well. One of them is a shotgun approach. It's called Reinventing My Normal. And it's basically just a shotgun approach into all different subjects with teenagers. There's another book specifically written for self-harmers. It's called Hidden Scars. And that book is really important for people who are harming themselves physically, like cutting their skin and that kind of thing. And so we get into it's more along the lines of emotional support for things like that. And then also there's a book called Value Up, which we give to students. We don't sell this book actually to students in schools.
That's so cool.
We give them the opportunity to download that book for free. So proud of that one.
So you're talking to thousands of kids a week, tens of thousands of kids a week sometimes, right? And you're giving that book away for free.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's the key, is that kids don't know their value. I mean, we can get into this a little bit. I can tell you a little bit of my story and how I got into doing this. I actually grew up in Boston, Massachusetts. My parents were divorced when I was a kid. I was 5 years old. My dad left. My mom was just overwhelmed by having, you know, so many kids, and she had 4 kids. And so it was just a crazy time. I grew up in the 70s, so it was, you know, a lot of things were, you know, there was an unspoken rule that whatever happened in your house stayed in your house. So there was a lot of abuse, and not necessarily like, planned abuse, but just a neglect, a a lack of parenting skills that were, you know, just troublesome. And so I ended up doing drugs and alcohol, and I self-medicated. I was medicating with, you know, marijuana and alcohol probably mainly. I went into the military. Well, basically, I got into a situation that I ended up emancipated as a minor. So my junior year and my senior year, I just lived on my own. My own apartment, stayed in high school. I had a couple teachers that were really important to me, helping me stay in school. Did that, went into the military and loved it. Basically, what happened in the military was I was still medicating my pain with alcohol, partying and stuff and that kind of thing. And then I really honestly, probably the best way to describe it for me was I didn't value me. So when people ask me, like, did you have a drug abuse problem? No, I had a Mike abuse problem. Like, wow. I didn't like me. So my choices reflected that. I mean, I can't tell you how many experts when I was in, you know, high school, you know, what experts, counselors, whatever, would try to change my behavior. They would talk to me about my behavior. They would talk to me about why I shouldn't be doing these things. And nothing ever really worked until I went in the military, like I said, and I started going to church. This isn't a church talk. But the church I went to, they did a really good job at helping me understand my value. I mean, the spiritual part of it is private and that kind of thing, and we don't get into that in schools. But the social part of that group helped me understand that I was valuable, and consequently, that changed my life because I was like, if I'm valuable, then I should make choices, you know, that are valuable. So I stopped overnight. I stopped drinking overnight. I stopped carousing and crazy living, and I began to invest in myself because I was worth it. I had value, so I wanted to invest in me. That's why we call the program Value Up. Because when people begin to really value up, they begin to see their value, then the behavior changes. A lot of times, they send people like me into a school because they have a behavior issue, right? They're like, oh, we got to get a speaker for vaping. We got to get a speaker for, you know, alcohol, drugs, you know, sexual stuff. And they had specific speakers for specific, like, actions or specific behavior. And to me, that's a waste of time. To me, if you can get a kid to believe in themselves... And because behavior follows belief. So belief is first. So if a kid believes in himself, then he'll probably make those choices. And that's what happened to me. I got valued up. And so I wanted to go into schools. And what happened was I was a youth pastor up in Rockford, Illinois for a while. Went to Denver. And shortly after I left Denver, the Columbine thing happened. And two of the kids that were killed in the Columbine tragedy were in my youth group. So they had attended my youth group in Denver. And so I knew them. I knew the leaders that were leading them now and then. And so I just really wanted to get into schools and talk to kids about their value. And this is another thing, too. Bullying is not one of the issues that they bring speakers in for, right? Well, to me, that's another value issue. Because if a kid is valuing themselves, they probably won't put other kids down. But why would I value you if I don't value me? So do I really need to go into a school and tell the kid to value other kids? Or should I tell him to value himself? And the natural consequence of that, or the byproduct of that, is that he will value, you know, or she will value, you know, others.
I learned this from you. You said that you've never met a bully that liked themselves.
Yeah, not yet.
You know, and I don't think we have a hate problem, a racism problem, anger problem, a suicide problem, a drug problem. I think we have a value problem.
Absolutely.
When we raise people's value, those things tend to go away, right? Grades tend to go up. People are happier. You know, at Happy Life Studios, we believe that you're your best when you're in your happy spot. That's a whole nother podcast right there. But what I'd like to know is, you went through a lot of stuff, and your story is amazing. We'll get into your story one of these episodes. But the stuff that you went through was on a level that's pretty intense. And yet you took that pain and you used it. For instance, every one of your books that you wrote, you wrote them for somebody else. You wrote them to help out teenagers, and now Talking to Brick Walls is helping out teenagers, also helping out the parents of it. So, Mike, with all that pain that you went through, why do you give away your book free at schools? You'd be making thousands, tens of thousands of dollars off of that book. Your kids they eat out of your hands when you speak in a school, and yet you give it away free, which tells me a little bit about you, the type of giving person that you are. How did that happen? How did you turn from a person that was so hurt to a person that just gives so much? Do you remember when that happened for you?
I do. I remember sitting in a conference one time and somebody was speaking and they said, hurt people hurt people. And And two things happened to me at that point. I was like, wait, the people that have hurt me, I just need to do a little history lesson on their life, you know. And then I looked at that and went, well, my, you know, it's a long line of abuse that happened in my family. My great-grandfather was abused, you know, my grandfather, my mom. And so so then it trickled down to us. And so, again, it wasn't like a straight-up abuse situation, but it was more like a neglect and just lack of just knowing what to do with kids or whatever. But so then the other part of that hurt people was that's going to be me if I don't get help for my hurt, right? That's going to be me if I don't – I'm going to pass this along to my kids if I don't get help for my hurt. So I had to look at that. I have a cut on my arm right here, and this is from just being stupid in the garage. I think I just cut it. And I always, when I'm talking to kids, I say, you know, you have a choice because this is a cut that is healed, right? There's a scar there, and that's healed. But if it wasn't, and if it was open, and it was, you know, the nerves were exposed, then all I'd have to do is just touch that, right? And then I'm going to react and it's going to hurt. Well, I could slap it now because it doesn't, you know, it's all healed up. And so the best gift I could ever give my kids is for me to heal my, to get healed from my wounds. Because then if they're healed, and if they touch it by being a kid, by smarting off, by whatever, I'm not going to overreact. And that's exactly what happened to me. Is my mom wasn't mad at me. I figured it out later. That she wasn't really mad at me. She was mad at life. She was mad at everything that happened to her. And then, you know, I came along and I was a normal kid that talked back and, you know, was disrespectful and that kind of thing. And there was an overreaction to normalcy. There was an overreaction to what, you know, what was really going on. And so I guess you could call that abuse or you call that overreaction, whatever. But that's what happened to me. And so what I looked at is I went, I need to get help from my... You know, the last chapter of the book, actually, I talk about that. I talk about, you know, because parents, you know, we're just kids who grew up and had kids. And so, you know, who trained us? You know what I mean? Our parents did. And if you were trained right, if you saw a good example, then you're in good shape. But if you didn't see a good example, if there was some shortcomings in that, then, you know, you're operating from the hole. So you got to figure it out. And, you know, and that's one of the things I had to do. The big thing for me was getting healed for my hurt. Forgiving my mom and forgiving the people that hurt me and giving my pain purpose. One of the reasons we do give the book away is because it's a way of, it's like giving, I can't go back to 1976 and straighten out all the mess that happened there. But what I can do is see the smile on some kid's face, you know, and just know you're making a difference. You know, I just got an email 2 days ago from this girl from Pennsylvania, and she said, I could listen to you for 3 hours. Like, and that's a high school kid, and because they're listening to truth and they're listening to help, they're listening to practical things. I'm not babying them. I'm saying, you know what, I'm sorry bad things happen to you, but you can keep going, and there's things you can do with it. Give your pain purpose. Don't just feel sorry for yourself and be a victim. You know, you gotta go to work and make that pain go to work for you.
So this is our first episode. What would you say to those deciding whether they want to continue on to watch what we're doing? What is Talking to Brick Walls really going to be about? Why would I, as a parent, want to come on board and subscribe to this podcast?
Well, first of all, the opening line of the book says something that you might not even agree with me on, you know, you that are listening. It says, your teenager wants to talk to you. And that seems ludicrous because when they turn 13, they just shut you down most times. You know, not every kid does this, but they start getting cryptic, you know, about their information and, you know, real selective. When they were 10, you know, when they were in third grade, they were like an open book and you could talk to them about everything. And then all of a sudden, you know, they turn 13 and their social world opens up completely to them and they get a little, you know, cryptic, like I said, and you know, selective on what they tell you. That does not mean they don't want to talk to you. That just means that they're afraid of what they say is going to hurt you, bother you, cause you to judge them. They're negotiating a lot of things right now. There's a lot of stuff that's opened up. And most parents will know, they know that because they went through stuff. But the worst thing you can do is stick your class of 1995 lenses on and look at your teenager. You need to stop doing that because I'm telling you right now, it's a completely different ball game. the social pressure they face right now is nothing like you faced. I just spoke at a school in Iowa. There was 35 kids in the senior class. I graduated with 500 in Boston, South Boston. That 35 that graduated in Iowa, they have a way bigger social audience than I ever did. That sounds crazy, but they do because they're connected to everybody and everything. I wasn't. If I made a social mistake in my high school, maybe 20 people would know about it, half the wrestling team I wrestled. So
2:33 o'clock, it was done, though, right? You went home and it was done.
Right.
Next day was a brand new day.
Yeah, nobody's going to get on their rotary phone and, like, you know, spread this information out. You know what I mean? They're just done with it. But now it is... Oh, he did this, click, click, and then it's boom, it goes out. And it's depending on your network and who you're connected to. That's scary. And that's a world that consumes them. And they only have so much bandwidth in a day to deal with emotional pressure. And a lot of the energy that they put into life goes into that section of it. There's their social world. So they do want to talk to you about it. They do want to get some information to you, or they want to be able to tell you about it so they can get coached. But a lot of times they know what you're going to hear, you're not going to like. And so they get private. And that's dangerous because when it's private, you can't coach it.
Yeah, then all that pressure builds up inside. And I'm sure that's something we're going to talk about down the road. But you said something that, correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I took it was, so oftentimes we as parents feel like, our kids don't care. They don't want to talk to us anymore. When they're in third grade, they talk to us all the time, almost ad nauseum. We couldn't get them to stop, right? And now they don't even...
Go to bed.
Right. And now they don't even... You know, what we would do to have our teenager walk out of the bed and say, instead of sleeping, going, hey, can we talk? What we would do for that, right?
Faint, probably.
And so it's real easy to begin to feel like, what's wrong with me? But what I heard you say is, the reason why they're not talking to us, let me see if I can even put it into words, but the reason why they're not talking to us is because they're afraid they're going to disappoint us. They're afraid that we're not going to like the situation that they're in. So it's really an intense, they care so much about our opinion of what they're going through that they love us so much. So they're shutting up. I know it's going to be hard for a lot of people to believe this, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but what I hear you saying is, the reason why they're not talking to us is because they do love us, and they love us so much that they're afraid to open up with us in case we don't accept what's going on in their life. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, absolutely. It's actually a compliment because they just entered into this whole new world that's kind of sketchy, and they're hearing things that they're hearing things for the first time. They're hearing, you know, what so-and-so's doing, and, you know, especially when they go into 7th and 8th grade, all of a sudden there's drugs that they didn't negotiate, you know, they didn't deal with. Even if they're not doing it, they're hearing about these things that are going on. And then there's a thing called FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. And even if you don't adhere to these things, even if you don't like any of these things, maybe your value system as a kid is real tight and you've got it down, there is that FOMO, that fear of missing out. They want to be in the know. So if they start talking to you about that and it goes against the values of your home, you know, you're going to react to that and you're going to want to correct them. And a lot of parents, and I get this because I fit into this category, it's that fear-based. You know, we're scared. We're scared. This podcast even is telling you that their world is, you know, about to change and it gets scary. But the worst thing you can do is shut down communication. So it's a balancing act of wanting the information because you want it, but if you react to it, you're going to shut it down, then you're not going to get it, and then there's going to be a wall built. And then you're going to be trying to peek behind the wall, figure out what's going on, and it's a whole game. What I'm saying is you can, in your communication with your child, you can give an atmosphere or create an atmosphere where they feel safe enough to tell you anything. And that's really hard to do, but it's what we're going to talk about. It's what I'm going to try to help you with the best
Excellent.
I can.
Because up until this point, honestly, it really didn't take a whole lot of skill to communicate with your kid, because no matter how good or bad you were, they were going to talk to you, right? But they start entering in this world of teenager, and you really need to have some skills if you want to keep those lines of communication open or reopen some lines. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely.
And those are some skills that you're going to give us, and I'm hoping I can pull them out of you. But I know it's not going to take a whole lot of pulling because it's in you and it's just ready to come out. So I'm so grateful to be a part of this whole podcast with you. I'm so happy that you're getting out there. And I'm so impressed that you're wanting to take what you've learned over 3.5 decades to help out parents out there that just, we're like, what am I doing wrong? What do I need to do? And so that's kind of what talking to brick walls, really, in my opinion, is all about. Is there anything that you would like to say to the parents or the educators as we close this first episode?
Sure. Just the fact that you're even listening to this right now, you need to pat yourself on the back because it's not easy. This is a tough subject, and there's a lot of different anecdotes and different people that will weigh in on it. What I want to do is I feel like my job is an interpreter or a translator. I am a parent. I've raised five kids, but I'm also in this world where I'm walking the halls with the kids and I speak to thousands of them. And just this last week, there was a line of kids wanting to talk to me, and they tell me these things. They tell me what they're going through. And no, I'm not up on all the lingo and all this stuff. It would look really weird if I was. But bottom line is I understand their pain. I understand the pressure they're under. And so I know you love your kids. If you're listening to this right now and you're an educator or a parent or both, You care about kids. You really do. And that's awesome. You care about your own kid. But your kid, your student, your child, they care about you too. And they want to please you, but they really are negotiating a whole different world. And we're going to get in, at one of the podcasts, we're going to get into the two governments that they have to please every day. That's going to be an important podcast because that's going to describe to you their social world from their perspective.
That's really good. You got to start from an area of you love your kids, but your kids love you too. If there's one thing we can take away from this is that your kids do love you, and you can't always look at the outward appearance or at how they're talking or not talking to you. Your kids really do love you, and they really do need you.
Absolutely.
Right on. Well, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Looking forward to this journey with you. Thank you guys for watching, listening. We know time is your most precious commodity, and so thanks for giving us yours.
Hello, Walt.